son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This question that the Apostle Paul draws our attention to is one that pierces into the very heart of the gospel, the good news. And if you recall, the Apostle Paul begins this great letter to the Romans by introducing himself in these terms: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And most of us here are familiar with the word gospel. It simply means good news. And what Paul tells us from the very outset of this letter is that the good news that he is proclaiming is good news that originates not with man, not down below within the affairs of man and the politics of man and the economies of man, but that the good news the Apostle Paul has to proclaim and the good news that we proclaim today is good news that comes from God. The gospel is something that God himself has given to us. And by this question now in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, after the Apostle Paul has demonstrated to us the way in which God has redeemed and saved sinners, justifying them by the righteousness of Christ and beginning to sanctify them by his Holy Spirit, filling them with new life, the Apostle Paul is bringing us into the very heart and center of that gospel. Why did God send this good news? What is the deepest source of this good news? It is from God, but can we say more than that? And what the Apostle Paul does in this question is that he draws us to see that the deepest source, the place to which we can go no further in saying why the gospel, why is there good news, is the love of God the Father. Which is an interesting thing. Often on this Good Friday, and rightfully so, we focus on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for us. But Paul would also have us keep in mind that Christ is there because the Father did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. The Father did not withhold his hand. The Father did not reserve himself, but he gave up his Son for us all. Paul also says in the opening of Romans that this gospel is from God, and it's something that he promised beforehand through the prophets. We see this throughout the whole Old Testament. The gospel, this very gospel that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, promised in the Old Testament. And this question that Paul asks, you know, if God did not spare his own Son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? It may bring to mind a very well-known story from the Old Testament of a father who was asked to give up his son. You think of Abraham. And God had finally given Abraham that promised son, the son whom he loved, Isaac. And God says to Abraham on this day to take that son and to carry him up Mount Moriah and there to sacrifice him unto the Lord. And Abraham, in obedience to the Lord, trusting the Lord, takes Isaac and leads him up Mount Moriah, and there raises his hand to sacrifice his own beloved son. And it's then that a voice from heaven stops him from carrying out the sacrifice. And there it is said that you will not truly die, He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham goes on to name that place on Mount Moriah, the Lord will provide. Well, very interestingly enough, on that very same place, the temple would be built, the Jerusalem temple. And it's there that a father would not withhold his hand. And it's there that a son indeed would be sacrificed. Wouldn't it be Isaac? No, it would be God the Father, who in that very same place would not spare his own son, but give him up for us all. And so what the Apostle Paul wants us to see then is the infinite, unfathomable depth of the love of God shown to us in the gospel, that we might see something a glimmer, a glimpse of this infinite love that the Father has shown, what could be more precious to a father than his own son? What could be more valuable? What could he hold to more dearly than his own son? And the Apostle Paul is telling us that in Jesus going to the cross, there the love of the Father is put on immaculate, beautiful display as he withholds not even his own son from us. For it was his own son that was required and needed that if you and I were to be saved, that if God the Father were to bring us back to himself, if he was to restore us to himself, then none other than his son could accomplish that work. And it was something the Father, therefore, was willing to do. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. As Isaiah 53 reminds us, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It is a love of God the Father that explodes within the gospel, that we might see something of his infinite love for us. And that might be the hinge upon which our whole lives turn. John Calvin, who many of us are familiar with, had said that the main hinge on which our religion turns, that we might come to love God, serve God, worship God, the main hinge upon which our religion serves is this, that we no longer have in heaven a judge, but a father. And a father who loves us infinitely, so deeply, so tenderly, that he did not even withhold his own son. But now, Paul, from that point on now, having established this gospel truth, that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, Paul now begins to apply that to your life and to the life of the church. Because at times we can feel as if, right, God is withholding things from us. And maybe our lives feel like they're lived at a deficit, or we're lacking things in our lives. Or we're not sure if what we are craving and desiring and longing for will really be given to us. But Paul says that if he did not spare his own son, which was most precious to him, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That if God gave his son to us, then how will he not also, so easily, from the greater to the lesser? And therefore, God does not withhold a single good thing from you, his child. God gives you exactly what you need, the exact amount what you need, when you need it. This is the wisdom of and the love of God the Father. And we begin to see also then how this view of God the Father, of one who loves us and who withholds no good thing from us, for he has given us his son, reverses the lie of the serpent from the very beginning. Right? The serpent said to the woman as he tempts her, bringing into question God's promises, he says to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." What's being implied here? That God is stingy, that God is withholding things from you, that God is keeping things from you. And Paul is saying, in the face of the serpent's lie, the truth. And it is this, that God does not keep things from you, but God has given to you his son. He is a giving God. He gives his son, he gives us himself. It's why we're baptized into his name, into fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity. And so when we begin to think about Good Friday, let us press deeper into why Good Friday exists, why the center of the gospel has been accomplished. And let us press deep into the heart of the Father and there find his infinite love and his perfect provision for you. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what brought Christ here, as the Father sent him, gave him up. And so let us rest in that infinite love and that perfect provision. Amen.